Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Now, Lord, it is time for your word. This word is so powerful. It takes all of us into a new dimension, the dimension of the kingdom of God, where we discover things on an ongoing basis of things that pertain to us and blessings and promises many times we didn't even know about. And so, Father, so is the teacher of every word. You said, out of the treasury they bring forth both new and those things which have previously been taken, that they are old and the new that comes from the kissed of the treasury of the Lord. So teach your people your word, and let your word be strong and powerful and encouraging and uplifting, strengthening, faith-giving, impartation, new hope in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you and welcome here at Little Falls Christian Center. It's good to see all these people so early in the morning. In the winter, I don't know why, but I sometimes find that there's a subtle switch to the second service. I do not quite understand why, but some people, you know, they sit like this, and then they sit like this, and then they move to the next service. But I don't really care about that. What I care about is that it be well with your souls. And I'm picking up on the story of the message of the blood. I'm going to move very fast through one verse here in Genesis 2 verse 7, where it speaks of the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Yepach apei nishmat chayim adam chaye nefesh. It says this, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, nefesh. And then we know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. What does that life of the flesh in the blood consist of? It came in through the lungs. It was the breath of God. It was the life-giving spirit of God that gave life to Adam. And when he breathed, the very first thing that was ever breathed on this planet was the very breath of God Almighty himself in the face of Adam. Later, Jesus would blow with his breath on the faces of the disciples. And we know what happened there also. They went full of joy to Jerusalem and waited for the day of Pentecost. They continued with joy, fruit of the Spirit now, in one accord. And then some 3,000 people got saved. Now, having said all of that, we turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verse 15. I'm going to do a couple of verses in a row here because I want to get to the root and foundation of it all and see how we go. So God said to him, that's to Abraham, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, that's a young cow, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, 3, 3, 3, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to Almighty God, and he cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. So those 3, 3, 3 became 2, 2, 2, so that's 6, and then the two birds gives you a total sum of 8. And with those 8 pieces, so to speak, God then entered into covenant with Abraham. Notice also that when you cut an animal in 2 pieces carefully, as he would have done, that blood is instantly shed. So those animals gave their lives, and in the presence of blood, this covenant was then ratified with Abraham. Very powerful, so much so that it stood to this very day. I was in the place of Hebron, as they say, and I stood at the tomb of Abraham and the tomb of Sarah. We visited there, Isaac, Jacob, and there was Rebecca's tomb, and with Jacob was Leah's tomb. Rachel's buried close to Jerusalem on the way to Bethlehem. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell on him. Then God said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not there, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years, the children of Israel in Egypt. And so the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. Behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "To your descendants, I have given this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, which is really the giants, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. They were living at Jerusalem. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar." Now, we know that here in this place, God took this initiative by telling Abraham what to do and what to get together for this covenant. And Abraham entered into a covenant. Three animals cut into two pieces, plus a turtle dove and a young pigeon, making up a total of eight pieces that would be laid out on the ground. We know that vultures came, and we also, if we read Genesis 15:6, and he believed God, God accounted it unto him for righteousness. We know that there came the smoking torch, burning oven, smoking torch, passed between those pieces. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate here, but in the old times of ancient times, the tradition was at the cutting of such a covenant to lay the pieces out on the ground, and the commentators will tell you from the ancient manuscripts that the parties who entered into this covenant would move in between those pieces with a figure eight, signifying never-ending. Eight is a symbol of eternity. So therefore, it's eternal, and it's also a new beginning, and God made a new beginning there with covenant because God wanted to walk with man. Now, this covenant being so immensely powerful that if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. There is always blood involved when it comes to a covenant. So, even in the ancient Africa, there was a man called Dr. David Livingstone, and there was a man called Henry Stanley that looked for him. I read that story now twice over the past 2-3 weeks, today again, how that this man, Henry Stanley, came into a region of Africa, was trying to locate Dr. David Livingstone. Now, I think Africa is kind of a big place to look for him. And you'd look a lot of places before you actually find him. But they did a couple of things. They took some things to trade with. And they had some some animals, and I suppose donkeys or mules, whatever, or carriers that came with, and they had some substance, and they would make a living and trade as far as they went, and then through that trading, that would sustain them until finally they found Dr. David Livingstone. So at that time, Livingstone was moving across Africa, and the statue of Livingstone we visited at the Victoria Waterfalls. He was an amazing man. He was a missionary. He was in a medical school, completed medical school. Then he heard Charles Moffat speak about the smoke of 1,000 villages ascending in the darkness of Africa, and he decided right there and then, Africa needs the gospel. Come Reinhard Bonnke, and he said, Africa shall be saved. So come me, and I say, Africa shall be saved. Can you say amen? Amen. And moreover, South Africa shall be saved. Amen. Now give God a good praise offering. So if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Galatians 3 also says, we know that those who are of faith are the seed of Abraham, the children of Abraham, seed of Abraham. Now, Hebrews 12, 22. I move through these verses and then we get to the power of the blood. But you, Hebrews chapter number 12, 22, New Testament, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the great assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Everybody say registered in heaven. If you're in this place this morning and you are not registered in heaven because you never made a real commitment to Jesus, then you're in trouble, but we'll bring the solution at the end. How many of you know Jesus saves? To Jesus, verse 24, the mediator of the new covenant, not those eight pieces, this time sacrificing himself, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks, blood that speaks of better things than that of Abel. We know from Adam's time, Cain and Abel, how that Cain killed his brother Abel. But you know that here in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament, the Bible still says that man Abel, who was a righteous man, that man's blood speaks right up to this minute that we're talking. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The voice of the blood is continuous. Everybody say continuous. You need to understand that bloodshed, killing this and killing that and shedding of blood on the streets, shooting here. We live in a violent world in which we read and we see how people get killed, shot in cars, run away, they get killed. Machine guns, AK-47s, you switch on the news, you see that. You turn on the television and if you want to look at anything, it's all violent movies, people shooting each other, blood splattering all over the place. That blood is busy speaking all the way right in the presence of God. He knows because he gave that life. That life is saying, I've been murdered. It is what pollutes a country when people do not understand that that blood will speak until that individual who committed murder stands before the throne of God to give an account of that murder. So see that you do not refuse him who speaks, verse 25. For they did not, if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, and so on and so forth. So, the blood speaks. Everybody say, the blood speaks. Built into the blood is life, the life that God gave. In the blood of Jesus was the very life of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in God the Son. The blood in his veins was the blood of the Almighty. That blood speaks eternally, will speak eternally. Those who committed murder of other people on earth, that blood will speak until they appear before the judgment of God, the judgment seat of Christ. The blood of Jesus is a different story altogether. His blood speaks eternally. Now, therefore, it is said, this we've covered, but I have to read this verse. But you shall not eat, this is in Genesis 9 verse 4, and of course given to the man with the name of Noah. So he comes out of the ark, they land on Mount Ararat, and God gives him instruction. They call that the Noahide laws, not so much as by what he said, but what he did. They took that, listed it, and called it the Noahide laws. You shall not eat the flesh with its life, Hebrew nefesh, which means soul. That is its blood. Surely for your life blood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the soul, the nefesh of man. You shall not eat the flesh with its soul, its life. That is its blood. And for a moment getting or spending a thought on that while we go to the next, Hebrews 9 verse 22. Actually, I want to go to Hebrews chapter number 9 verse 11 and then we'll just pick it up from there and we'll do a little bit of talking about that. But we can reason this thing out logically, that the blood was infused, was saturated with the breath of God in the case of Adam and Eve. Sinless they were. They came into the world by the creativeness of the Creator in His image and His likeness. And then, therefore, He had no hesitation of breathing their life into them. Their soul was captured, or their life or soul, it's the word nefesh, was captured in their blood. When you blow out your last breath, your soul departs. There is an intricate and a beautiful story if you talk about spirit, soul, and body. But for now, I'll just stay with that. And so, when every soul is lost, that soul needs God so very desperately, for hell is eternal. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and a more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. There is only one blood in existence that exists in heaven above, the own blood of Jesus Christ is there already. If you enter heaven in Christ Jesus, you enter in by his blood, for your flesh and your blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 tells you very clearly about that. And so in Christ, it's his blood. I was thinking, meditating the word, I was thinking that, you know, man is, as after the fall of man, he received a sin nature. That sin nature is in his entire being. That soul is a lost soul. What we would say, cut off from God. Until the person is born again and his soul is saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Cut off from God eternally until the message of the blood of Jesus and the good news of the gospel reaches that person. So with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The word redemption means to buy out at a price. Eternal redemption. In other words, he had to pay a price, and God paid the highest thinkable possible price for us, namely his own blood of his own son that's on the altar of the mercy seat of heaven itself, that speaks of better things and a new covenant for those who are of the faith in Christ as the one and only, the only name given under heaven. Listen again. The only, did you hear me on the internet? The only name given under heaven by which anybody can ever be saved. There's nobody but Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes, I say again, no man comes to the Father except through him. Through Jesus Christ alone, through faith in him. That's where salvation is. You can come with rituals, you can come with any religiosity and religious systems and whatever cults, whatever exists, but there's one who is the Messiah. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach, he is the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh, our souls, and all that is within us, bless his holy name. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. For if the blood, verse 13, Hebrews chapter number 9, of bulls and the ashes of a heifer, the sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for a purifying of the flesh, that old sin nature, how much more shall, thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience. That's the voice of your spirit. Your conscience from dead works. I no longer have a guilty conscience. I have a saved conscience. I have a blood-washed conscience. I have a blood-washed conscience. Listen again. Without spot, the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience. Everybody say, I have a blood-washed conscience. And might as well give him another praise offering right now in this place. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. Now, I have to go on. And I want to read verse 16, save a little bit of time here. I want to give comment on every verse here, but I can't. For where there is a testament, the New Testament, How many of you got a will or a testament? Let me see your hands right now in this space. Well, we're supposed to everybody have that. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For if a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was dedicated. Not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God had commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Now according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Now everybody, aloud, if you haven't got my translation, which is New King James, then just say it after me. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, if Jesus didn't shed his blood, we would not have been bought out at a price. We would be straight on journey to hell, all of us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. To the Bible in the book of Matthew 26, 28, it says these words, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Having said that, and we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This is my blood of the new covenant. Now, I told you about this man called Henry Stanley. They came out, they walked in those areas of Africa, and they came across a very antagonistic, E.W. Kenyon book says, it says, a very warlike tribe. And this tribe, on his way in his journey to look for Dr. David Livingstone, this tribe, of course, blocked every avenue, and they couldn't trade, they couldn't do anything. They were just literally going to pieces. But then there was a strange thing that happened. Then one of the people there, he was a man that knew the traditions of Africa, as one of the guides, said to Henry Stanley, "Why don't you enter into a covenant with the chief of this tribe that's giving us all this trouble?" And so finally he persuaded Henry Stanley to do that. So the message went to the king, and the king, or the chief of the tribe, said, "All right, bring him here." So they came together, and they said, "Do we enter into this covenant?" Both parties agreed. Then they went in through a process. They had two men, and they cut them on their arms. Blood came out, and now look at me now. If you have the two hands, they do that. And they rub, they mix blood like that. They rub it. After that, they dripped it in a cup. After that, they mingled it with the wine of Africa, whatever wine that was. And they put it in a cup. And both the representative parties that represented the king, like one of the king's sons, and the chief negotiator of Henry Stanley, had to do that, rub their wrists, mix their blood, drink the blood of each other in a cup. Now they'd become one, representing the king and representing Henry Stanley. Then after that, there came a person that said, "Now hear the blessing of this covenant between us." And he spoke about the fact that they would now be able to trade left, right, and center, because anybody who touched Henry Stanley now was liable to be killed himself, because he was considered to be part of the blood of the king himself. So the king gave a 7-foot woven spear. It's written a 7-foot, I suppose, copper, whatever. It was a woven spear, 7-foot long. Gave it to Henry Stanley. And he said, everybody now trade with Henry Stanley, for we are blood brothers. But before we do that, here is one thing. There's a blessing, and that means we'll protect you, you protect us, we protect each other, we share. We share alike. And I want something from you. I've given you my spear. I want that white goat that you've got. Now, Henry Stanley had a big problem with giving his white goat because he had stomach problems, and the only thing he had to sustain, he had a weak constitution, and he was a sickly man, and he didn't want to let go because he was drinking that goat's milk to try and help him to maintain health. And so the king wanted it. So his representative said, you better give it to the king. So he let go of the goat. He got the spear. Then they pronounced the curse if any of these two parties should break it. They will hunt you down and they will take you out. If you breach that covenant, it would mean certain death. They would stop trading immediately. They would stop everything, every blessing. And the blessing would turn into war. So having said all that, the king said, now go ahead and trade with Henry Stanley. Now this is a true story. So then what happened next was that the people just stood there and they just came to see what they have to trade with. And they found that they could take all their stuff and display it and go to bed without packing away. Because nobody would go near that stuff. If anybody goes near that stuff, the king and the entire army of that tribe would be after that person. They'd take him out. Because that was considered like the king's property. From there they prospered. In the book of Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses tells you about the blessing of obedience to the law. Deuteronomy 28 from the 15th verse tells you in a string of verses what is the curse of the law. You want to once read through that, just read Deuteronomy 28 and see what blessings, but notice the curses. This is what God did when he entered into a covenant. If we are unfaithful to this covenant, then of course, this terrible curse is eternal. It comes down. But I want to read you something. I was sitting and thinking, Mort said, what on earth are you doing? I said, I'm busy dictating. And I dictated the following. This was my thoughts. Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Lord of all, came to his own, but his own knew him not. He came as Abraham's covenant partner to bless his people, but they came to kill Abraham's covenant partner. He came to save them, but they wanted to crucify and to kill him. He came to lay down his life. They came to take his life. Galatians 3:13 says, he was made to be a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He was made to be a curse for us by the people. But instead, he came to bless us with the blessing of Abraham, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. The people at the cross said, physician, heal yourself. However, he came to heal them. He came to remove their burdens. They came to lay the burden of the cross on him. He was wounded for our transgressions, but they preferred to be the transgressors. He is the light of the world, but men love the darkness more than the light. He came to men because of love, but the people came to him because of hatred. He spoke the word of truth, but the men loved the lie more than the truth. He loved and he forgave sinners on the cross. They instead wanted to treat him and kill him just like a criminal. He cast out the demons with the power of the Holy Spirit, but they wanted to cast him out of the synagogue. He set the captives free, but they took him captive. He is the King of Kings, the one who wears many crowns, but all they had to offer to him was a crown of thorns. He became poor, that those who believe in him might become rich. He poured out his soul for us, that our souls might be saved, for we are totally lost without him. He poured out his blood for ours. They did not realize that by this very blood, they would one day overcome the forces of hell and be more than conquerors by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let's give Jesus a praise offering right here and now. Amen. 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 That's not all of the message of the blood. He came to set the captives free. He came to save, to heal, to deliver. That's the message of the blood. That blood speaks forever. It's the eternal covenant. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I want you to bow your heads for a moment to think about this. The saints whose names are registered in heaven. Tonight, I continue because I'm not through. But now first this, the saints whose names are registered in heaven, is your name registered in heaven? Do you know that? Are you sure of that? In this night, I was in a state, a semi-conscious state, and I was confronted by what happens to a person on the edge of death when that person has never been saved. And when I thought of that, the fear of the Lord came on me, and an intensity to get souls saved like never before came upon me. I said, I must help. I must spread the message of the blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that can cleanse your conscience from your dead works, from sins of the past. Is your name written in the book of life of the Lamb of God? Yes or no? Net so. Is your naam geskryf in die boek van die lewe? Hoe weet jy dit? If you don't know it, that you know it is, then I can pray for you and give you that assurance. I would like to, because that's why Jesus came. He came to pour out his soul so that your soul might be saved. Maybe you've come into this place, you've been in some church somewhere, but nowhere ever were you confronted by what I'm saying, I'm talking about right now. Maybe you backslid. Maybe you've been doing stuff that you shouldn't have been doing. Maybe you didn't do things you should have done, like honor the Lord, the house of the Lord, be in church, be part of the body of Christ. Maybe you've just omitted everything and you backslid and you got into stuff and you started compromising. And instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you got drunk on wine. You say, Lord God Almighty, I need salvation. Maybe you're just not with God. You know you're not with God like you ought to. You need to make a rededication of that life immediately to God and turn to the Lord with all of your heart. If you want me to pray for you, ek sal graag vir jou wil bid, then all I need to do is just see where you are. And if you raise your hand, I'll pray for you quickly. Stick your hand gogo for my op. God bless you. I see that hand right there. God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Yes. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. And God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, Pastor. Yes. God bless you. I see that hand. There's a number right at the back. I see hands going up. God bless you. Right at that side of the back. There's more hands going up. Don't Let me say both languages. Wat ook al jy doen, moenie uit hierdie gebou uitstap sonder dat jy weet jy's reg met God nie. Dis jou oomblik om dit te doen. Whatever you do, do not leave this building without making right with God. This is your moment that you can restore and walk out here and say, my name is now written in the book of life. I know it. I know that I know it. I am saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I need to be included in this prayer. Raise your hand. This is for the last time now. Quickly, steek jou hand vir my op. Is daar nog iemand? Hier is al voor. Is daar nog enetjie? And there's another one, another one, another one. And more hands going up. That's right. That's good. Those people that have raised their hands, ek wil graag vir julle, but I want to pray for you. Please, would you just stand for me? I could see where you are. You're all over. I don't know where you are. Just stand for my hope. Het jou hand opgesteek? Stand op vir my. That's right. All of you stand. You raise your hands, you stand. Now, can I ask everybody standing? I want to pray here for you. Julle is te ver. Kan julle nie eens in die gesig sien nie? Kom na my toe. Just come to me quickly. Let me pray for you. All these people, just come to me. Come quickly. Just come. Come quickly. Just come stand here. Next to one another. Next to one another. Next to one another. You had a very good smile this morning. Life is good and it's going to be better now. Give the Lord a praise offering. That's right, for everybody. Amen. That's right. If it's your first time, stand in the front. Jou eerste keer is staan heel voor. Stand right in the front. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody, you can do this a zillion times. That means many times. It'll never do nobody no harm. Raise your hands towards him. You in front, stick your hand up na die Here toe. Close your eyes and say these words after me. According to the Bible, I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and his lordship over my life. I repent of sin and all forms of evil. Lord Jesus, please wash me in your blood. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Forgive me my sins. This day, I ask you, please write my name in the book of life of the Lamb of God. Save me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I am born again. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Forever and ever, I belong to Jesus. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. Give the Lord a praise of your body. Ooh. My whole body started glowing. It's just such a presence here on me now. My goodness, that's quite unexpected. I didn't expect that. I'm used to it, but not in this measure. I think tonight's going to be fireworks in this place. Another kind of fire. Amen. All right, give the Lord a praise of it right now. You got to follow your heart. Your heart's on your left-hand side. Follow that man there. He wants to just say hello to you. Just wants to meet you. Some very nice people just want to shake hands and bless you and then send you back. We're nearly finished. It'll 5 minutes and you're back. 5 minutes and you're back. Just go through with them. And one more praise offering for these people. Jesus came to save them. They went to him to crucify him. Jesus came and he poured out his soul for the lost. They came to him. Now they come to him to have their souls saved. Their souls today are saved. Can you say amen? Amen. That's why Jesus came. He became poor that you might be rich. Amen? Amen. He came to us to bless us that we can be a blessing to others. Amen? Amen. You know, of course, that you're all loved. You know that, of course. How many of you know you're loved? God loves you. Now, the pastor is not capable of that kind of love. Nobody can do it. Now, all of us put together can do it. But the pastor loves you for the measure that I love you. Please, would you stand? Because I love you too, and I want to bless you. My Lord and my Savior, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, The love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to you, grant you eternal salvation and peace in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. You may go in the peace.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.